I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Tonight, as Florida comes to town, Florida's in the latest bracketology. Auburn's easily in. That's 8 o'clock. You'll hear the game here on Jocks 94.5 tonight. Jim Dunaway, Ryan Brown, Rockstar Laurel here, and look who's back from the Super Bowl. It is the Lance Taylor, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm back. I'm refreshed. And, you know, a lot of reflecting on Sunday yesterday on the drive back.
All right. NFC champions, man. You can't go wrong being NFC champions. I know it's hard to lose the last one, but NFC champions.
Okay, but the older we get, we realize we have less time. And a year in the NFL seems like an eternity sometimes. And, look, you guys know this. I'm from you pulling for the Bucs, seeing one championship in your life. Brown's never seen a championship.
That is correct, yes. I've seen an AFC championship.
Never seen a championship. It's just there's so many good teams. There's so much parity. And to be able to get back, it was awesome. But there's a good chance that I will never see a Super Bowl championship again in my life.
See, that's what I asked yesterday. I asked Brown in our four downs. I said, we asked this question last week. I'll go now. Sean McVay, Super Bowl championships. Over, under 1.5, where do you go now?
No, I would go under. I would have gone. I think I would have leaned under before. I thought he would get the one this past weekend.
And never another one?
Yeah,
at 33?
I know that sounds crazy. But, you know, I think the trend's going to become, and not that there's a lot of Sean McVays out there, but we saw, you know, Brown's new head coach is 37. This is going to become a trend where you have a lot of coaches in their 30s. Whether or not that works out, we shall see.
But the way they recycle in the NFL, that means – even if it doesn't work out in one place, they'll get three or four other jobs before they start pushing up flowers at the graveyard.
You know, here's the thing, though. The NFL with injuries, I mean, it's perfect storm. And again, I believe, and I'm sure you guys got into this a little bit, and I know they talked about it on the broadcast for a second, Todd Gurley wasn't healthy. He can say he was healthy 100%.
So strange, man.
It really is, because you guys saw how dominant this guy has been in the regular season. And even, again, the divisional round against the Dallas Cowboys, you saw how explosive he was, but he was a non-factor against the Saints. He was a non-factor Sunday night against the Patriots. And I give Flores and Belichick a ton of credit in their game plan defensively and how good that defense got in the postseason. But there was something wrong with Todd Gurley.
You want to know who should get credit? Partial credit for this Super Bowl win is Rockstar's Detroit Lions.
Oh, yeah.
Seen that?
Well, you know, I saw it going into the weekend. There was one guy that pointed it out, and they said, if you want to blueprint these Rams,
yep,
go back to what Matt Patricia was able to do in the regular season. And, you know, that game ended up being a blowout. It was kind of weird how it went.
I know, but that's what Belichick and staff are saying. That was the film they watched, where they felt like this is the defense that has really given them the most problems. And it's weird when you look at the score of that game, you wouldn't have thought it. But it's where Belichick apparently hatched the plan for his defense, was watching that game against the Lions.
And I don't know, is there rules against Matt Patricia also making a phone call and helping him walk through the game plan or anything?
There's no rules. I don't think so. That, I mean, go back to some of these college football playoffs. Have we not seen coaches reach out to other coaches?
Yeah. Unfortunately for Rockstar, that's probably the closest the Lions will come to winning the Super Bowl, but at least they contributed to this one. Congratulations, Rockstar.
I miss Golden Tate, too. That's another thing. Golden Tate away.
Again, Dunaway, back to your original question with Sean McVay, it is hard to believe in his second season getting to a Super Bowl that you think it would go under 1.5 championships from here on out, but that's how difficult it is in the NFL. I mean, last year, this week, we're talking about Doug Peterson and the future of this Eagles team, and especially when they get Carson Wentz back 100% healthy, and they weren't even close this year, really.
Well, we feel like they'll come back again. We'll talk more NFL throughout, but it was interesting to see how things changed with our perspective on Sean McVay after one Sunday where his offense got grounded in the Super Bowl. But it was a special day for Patriot fans who made the trip down, and we were really impressed with you yesterday, how you had handled the loss on the way back. We were expecting more down in the dump LT, and you did not deliver that at all. You've been straight-headed, and I just felt like you were embracing that NFC championship pennant.
I can't overstate how fun the season was.
Yep.
You know, just week in, week out, and you only had really a couple of bad performances. Even in the loss in the regular season to the Saints, it was a lot of fun. It was a fun game. You know, they looked horrible against the Eagles. They looked horrible against the Bears. But the win over the Cowboys, their first in the postseason in 15 years or in 17 years, and then obviously what you saw in the NFC championship game with the controversy, it was just a lot of fun this year, and I hate that they lost on Sunday, and I hate it was to the Patriots. and I'm not a big fan of Patriot fans, as you guys can imagine.
So Saints fans and Patriots fans now.
Well, I think it's any fan base, and we've talked about that. And they were really nice up until kick. And talking to Patriot fans, I said, you know, I've told the girlfriend here that you guys are really nice until you start drinking and until actually toe hits leather. And then the demeanor changes, and they all agreed.
I'm just sad.
Spot on, huh?
Yeah, it really was.
I'm just sad you feel like you'll never see a championship. I mean, it's sad, Lance.
Well, do you think you will?
Yeah, I hold out hope. I mean, I plan on living, what am I now, 42? I feel like I got another at least 40 years in me. Okay. You think the Dolphins aren't going to win a world championship in the next 40 years?
Yeah, but you want to get it on this front side.
Well, I'd love
it.
I'd love it next year.
If you get it in 38 years, you know, when you're sitting in a chair and drooling, it's not going to be a lot of fun.
I don't plan on sitting in a chair and drooling at the end.
So you said you want it next year.
Well, any fan wants it next year. I'm not getting it next year. The Dolphins are about to tear down and rebuild, but any fan wants
it. He ain't getting it next year because they're playing in Miami. We know that people, you know, don't play in their old stadium.
Brian Flores introduced yesterday in Miami. This is your hope for next year from Brian Flores.
You know, there's definitely bumps in the road. There's no doubt about that in this game. There's ups, there's downs. There'll be some pain. We know that. But there's pain for every team.
No, don't get me wrong.
Pain
I know,
first. Pain first.
I know what's about to happen. They're about to tear down and rebuild, so I know how that's going to go. But my point was, anybody wants it next year.
Well, does Brian Flores realize what his biggest hurdle is?
Yeah. No, Dolphins? The whole Dolphins franchise. What?
The Dolphins?
Well, yeah, funny. Bad. But
no, the whole franchise realizes it. They have been upfront about the fact that they're not committed long-term, excuse me, to Ryan Tannehill.
Well, that, but also that they reside in the AFC East.
Well, but I mean, Tom Brady is not immortal, nor is Bill Belichick.
You say that.
Well, I'm pretty certain they're not immortal, Lance.
I swear, if you pull his hair back, he's got the number of the beast somewhere in there.
They own that. They own that division. And honest to goodness, if we sat here right now and I tell you to write down who you think wins the AFC East again next year,
oh, it's easy.
It's always the Patriots.
Well, even I mean, if you take all eight divisions in football and you get to pick one, and all you got to do is name the champion of one of the eight, I mean, how would you not? I know it would look appealing right now in the NFC West with the Rams, but I still think I'd probably go the New England Patriots.
Let's do this. If Brady stayed, Josh McDaniel became the head coach, and Belichick retired, you still write down Patriots?
Yes.
Okay, Belichick stays, Brady retires.
No.
You write down Patriots.
No, in that division next year, I still think I would, Lance. Now I need to know who's quarterback, obviously. If Julian Edelman has to take over at quarterback, I might change my mind, but in that division, you got Adam Gase in his first year in New York. You got Brian Flores in a tear-down rebuild, and you got the Bills. I mean, I'd still like the Patriots without Brady.
Still a hot mess. Yeah.
I don't know Brian Hoyer, what his contract says. I don't know if he is going to be the guy next year that would be quarterback number two. I don't have a lot of confidence in Brian Hoyer. So, no, if Tom Brady was not coming back. And look, and his skills have diminished. I mean, Tom Brady, I don't know. I think he's a borderline top 10 quarterback right now.
Boy, that first interception he threw was an awful pass.
Well, he was off early.
You know,
they had every opportunity.
Yeah. They did. So, Belichick gone, Brady back with Josh McDaniel as head coach, still Patriots.
Yes.
No Brady.
No.
I mean, you're out. Okay. Makes sense.
Would you agree?
I would agree. Brady seems to be the, as Curtis points out, the king. You need to bow down to him on Twitter there.
Well, I thought for sure, you know, the narrative now is, you know, will McVay and the Rams ever get back? I thought it would be the other way. I thought it would be this week we'd be talking about the potential for the Rams. I don't want to say dynasty. I think that's a little overstating it. But how many more will Sean McVay be able to get? And on the backside, I thought it would be this is the end. This is the destruction of the New England Patriots.
How many years does Nick Foles have left in the league?
I'd say 5, 6, 7.
God, that would be awful if, for me anyway, if they went and got Nick Foles.
I was listening to some Jacksonville Sports Talk Radio last night, waiting to listen to the Carson Beck interview. And they started discussing down there Nick Foles and how the Jaguars should not fall into the Nick Foles trap that the Eagles are laying out for them.
Yeah, I think if I'm a lot of teams, Brandon, I see what you're saying, because I think with Josh McDaniels in New England, Foles might make a lot of sense.
No, I think he could be not a
cerebral
Brady
guy.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of these teams like Jacksonville, where Foles is actually going to have to make plays, I agree with where you're going here, Dunaway. I just don't think Foles is going to be that guy that had that magic for a minute in Philadelphia.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I don't think you can take Nick Foles and drop him in any situation and him be successful, but in that situation.
But like if you,
it would appeal. I think it would play to his strengths.
If you knew he could play 7 more years, you would not want him to be the rebuild in
that
Miami.
Is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
No. But I also don't want him, if Brady said today, hey, you know what, it's been great, I'm out, I don't want him in New England either.
Yeah, not with Belichick and Josh McDaniel.
I feel like he could keep it going.
All right, 6:10 on the show as we get going. Always on Twitter, Cody jumps in and says, as a Cowboys fan, I'm thinking 3 to 5 years. I assume he's saying 3 to 5 years for his Cowboys to win a championship, not for Brown's team to rebuild and get there. Rebel writes in and says, hey, Dunaway, ask Brown if it's really tearing it down if there's not any talent there to begin with.
Oh, there's talent there.
Roasted.
No, no. There's talent there. It's the NFL. It's old talent. It's the problem.
Dean Martin's roast.
Back to the Cowboys. You know, when you go, and I don't go to a lot of games anymore, but you make friends, or at least you have some interaction with people around you. The two guys in front of me were Cowboys fans, and they had bought their tickets, and they just assumed the Cowboys, and I don't know why, big assumption,
man,
were going to be in the Super Bowl, but they decided to go on a travel and come in, and so we were talking about their Cowboys, and you know, all Cowboy fans right now, I'll give them this. They're optimistic, and I don't know how you can be optimistic with that organization, but they believe they'll be there in the next couple of years.
They seem more optimistic than their owner. He won't even commit to their head coach going forward.
I know. It's crazy.
You literally have a star to wish to on your helmet, though. That's why they're optimistic. All right, as we move forward, a lot to get to today. I mentioned Carson Beck. He's a 4-star quarterback recruit who has sort of decommitted from Alabama and could be on his way to Florida to play for the Gators in Dan Mullen. But last night, Louisville beat Virginia Tech 72-64. Texas Tech destroyed West Virginia, and Brendan Francis was really good. And that Iowa State went over Oklahoma that we'll get to in the 6:30 segment. Brownie?
You know who seems completely unlikable is Chris Mack, the Louisville coach.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, I think it goes back.
Like that guy.
We had this discussion. Yeah. You guys remember the brawl between Xavier and Cincinnati years ago and how Mick Cronin handled it so well.
Yeah. 100%.
And Chris Mack was on the totally opposite end of that spectrum.
And then I watched him do a halftime interview with Allison Williams last night. He just seems totally unlikable.
Yeah, that was all over Twitter, and you just don't understand why he does that.
I know. How'd you sleep last night? Not so great, huh? Try new ZzzQuil Pure Z's melatonin gummies. ZzzQuil Pure Z's, drug-free with an optimal dose of melatonin. And a unique blend of botanicals to help you fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. New ZzzQuil Pure Z's.
You know what I can't understand real quick, Dunaway, is West Virginia, where they are right now under Bob Huggins.
Oh, that was a horrible game last night. They did finally hit a bucket with 45 seconds left to get their 9th field goal, tying a horrible shooting weekend that matched NC State's 9 field goals. But they get beat badly in Lubbock by 31.
Well, there are just some programs that seem like you have at least got consistency where you'll always be an NCAA tournament team.
Yes.
And you would think with West Virginia and the history of that basketball program, from what Beilein was able to do there to what you've got right now with Huggins. And,
what are they, 2-10, 2-11 in the Big 12?
They're 2-8 in conference, and they're 10-13 overall, but they're just not even competitive.
Yeah, it was really as bad as they've been, it was even worse last night. Chris in Birmingham wants to chat Lance up about the Super Bowl. What's up, Chris?
How you guys doing this morning?
Hey, Chris. Doing well.
I'll give you my announcement of the Super Bowl, and then I'll talk to Lance. From what I've seen as the – honestly, I'm a Rams and a Saints fan. What I saw in the Rams Sunday night was as far as this good defensive play on the Patriots, as far as Dante Hightower and Brandon Flowers, Jared Goff was just had it mostly with him is – also a sense of inexperience. And more so, let's see, after that, and then also talk about Lance. Through all of that, Lance, I feel for you because I support both teams. But after happening in the NFC Championship, do you guys believe, though, that they really belong there?
Oh, yes.
I've said this. I didn't lose any sleep over the way that thing went down. I thought there were missed calls on both sides. Obviously, the missed call at the end there on Roby Coleman is one that would have put the Saints at about a 99% probability to win that game. But I go back this, and I watched it again last night. That bogus call on John Sullivan, that holding call, the Rams have first down at the Patriots 45 with the game tied at 3 apiece.
What was that, about a 20-yard run by Gurley?
It was about a 17-yard run, but then you take back the penalty. So instead of a first down on the Patriots 45, you've got a first and 20 from your own 30. So it's about 25 yards in field position and down in distance night and day. So I ultimately, that could have cost the Rams a Super Bowl right there. So there's missed calls all the time.
I thought in live action, I saw the flag come out. I thought they were going to call a chop block. Because if you watch the replay, he's engaged, and I don't think Everett intended to, but he goes in low. I think he got blocked into him, but I couldn't tell that in real time. I thought they'd called a job block. I didn't think it was a hold.
You know what's crazy? That was such a cleanly played game, penalty-wise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that call, which seemed to be a bogus call, and then early on in the game, it didn't impact the score or anything, but the
Roby Coleman?
The Roby Coleman hit in the backfield. What are you supposed to do? You're timing it out to hit somebody.
Well, and that ends up that would end up being like a third and 15 or 16. So field position, it did impact. You know, it didn't score-wise because New England didn't go get points in that situation, right, but it could have put the Rams on a shorter field.
Yeah, they could have scored early on, set the tone for the game, but I know by rule he's catching the ball now. He's got to turn up field or make a football move or whatever it is to keep you from being exposed in that situation. But that looked like a normal football play to me. I didn't like that call either.
And sadly, it looked, because it was Roby Coleman, right, that it was almost a makeup on him because it was so early. Even Patriot fans around me were talking about that. Yeah. Back to that call. I don't know how in Hades you could be a Rams / Saints fan at the same time.
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah. Maybe back in the day it wasn't that big a conflict, but right now it seems like a tough conflict.
621, as you drive in today, yesterday, Art Briles, it was announced that Southern Miss taking a look at this guy, possibly bringing him in as the offensive coordinator. When you guys heard this news, you initially thought what?
Well, the thing that comes to mind is this question for me. We all know Art Briles is a really good offensive coordinator or offensive mind. Is Art Briles going to make enough of a difference for Southern Miss versus what anyone else could do that it's worth what they're about to go through to hire him? And that's the question I think every program has to ask, but especially Southern Miss. I mean, is he that much better than anybody else you could hire to make it worth going through what you're about to go through to have to hire him? Because if they do, in fact, hire him, which according to the guy in Hattiesburg on Paul's show yesterday, it looks like they're going to. Well, they're going to get destroyed for this.
They'll get destroyed. It might be worth it if he's going to be your head guy. I don't know if it's worth it to bring him on as an offensive coordinator. And I know that's kind of, I would say, how he gets back in the game. But at the same time, he's such a proven head coach. If you're going to just take on this massive PR hit, why not just make him the head guy?
That's right. If you're going to take the hit, take the hit.
And if Jay Hobson, I mean, your head coach right now at Southern Miss, I would be really nervous with him underneath me. Because if things go well, if things just go average for you record-wise, but if that offense starts to pop, who knows, you're out in a couple of years and he becomes the guy.
Because this firestorm will end eventually. That's just the way the news cycle works. Now you've endured the firestorm with him being just the OC, and then if you have the offensive success, then you promote him up. You've already had the firestorm for hiring the guy. We all have biases, Brian. You and I were talking about this the other day in the media. And to show you, hometown paper, sort of, Biloxi's newspaper, they start off the whole story about Art Briles being interviewed with this. After, this is the first line, after Hugh Freeze and Rich Rodriguez were recently awarded second chances in their coaching careers, Southern Miss may be on the verge of giving Art Briles his. So they throw up Hugh Freeze and Rich Rod before they say, and we're going to do this.
Well, but then that's apples and oranges.
Oh, because, not even close.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody came into this story and had no earthly idea what we're talking about, and you had to describe to them why Art Briles is toxic, how would you describe it?
For being the guy in charge of a toxic environment at Baylor where he mishandled sexual abuse and predators feasting on young co-eds in a institution.
Huh? Yeah, I think
you about nailed it. Yeah.
Looked away during his tenure where there was criminal activity basically going on.
Yeah. I mean, he basically, at least what the Baylor people believe, the investigation showed, he fostered an environment where sexual assault was rampant.
I mean, he was recruiting that type of athlete. Yeah. He even said it on record. Why is she hanging out with those guys? Those are some bad dudes.
The guys he recruited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like he lowered the drawbridge to let the Vikings in to rape and pillage throughout the kingdom.
Yeah. Now, if I described Rich Rodriguez, he was sexually harassing a secretary.
Like
and
to
allegedly
in his underwear.
Yeah, like to eat chips in his underwear. And if I were describing Hugh Freeze, he was...
Hates to eat alone on the road.
Yeah, I mean, the allegations at least were he was visiting the ladies of the night while on the road.
If you're a bad husband, but if you are the keeper of 85-plus men and you also have a direct influence on female athletes on campus.
Yeah.
And you're basically, I don't want to say he's endorsing this, but looking the other way.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's night and day. It's not even close. And I, again, we said this, and I know we overstate this a lot. This guy will never coach, or this guy will never get back in the game. But when you really read through these documents, and not that I've read all of them, I've read enough, though. I don't know how you justify hiring him.
So basically, Dunaway, take your statement and then put it next to, but we were 99th in the country in total offense last year. And, boy, how hollow does that sentence ring?
Well, he can coach, though.
He really can.
The investigation, by the way, is still going on. Third-party law firm investigated back in 2016 what Art Briles was in charge of there, and found out there was misconduct inside the athletic department, including allegations of violence against women. The investigation found that Baylor football coaches, led by Art Briles, failed to report complaints against players. There's an ongoing NCAA investigation into the conduct of the Baylor Athletic Department, which still hangs out there, about Title IX issues
with
women on campus.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it not the CFL that hired him and then fired him within
It was June Jones, right? Wasn't it his team?
Hamilton Tiger Cat,
I think,
maybe?
So, yeah. And the blowback was so strong up there, he didn't even make it a day.
Yeah, if you can't hire someone professionally in Canada, how in the heck is he going to get back in the college game?
Yeah, I think he was up for this is not a joke. Wasn't it a football league in Saudi Arabia?
I thought it was Italy.
It was overseas.
Italy.
I thought he'd already taken the job. Yeah. I don't know if there was blowback over there. I kind of, once he went to Italy,
Let me ask you guys this, though. If you can look in a crystal ball and you're a Power Five and you're guaranteed a national championship in the next 10 years if you hire Art Briles, what do you think the percentages of teams that would do it?
There are some out there that would.
Well, there's a lot of people that probably would be willing to pay Southern Miss to take the hit here and hire him and let the firestorm come down on them and allow that process to happen so it'll be easier for them to hire him later on.
I'm not exact. I would guess that he's 62, but he looks to be an old 62, if that makes
sense. He's always looked crusty.
Yeah.
And so I wonder,
Him at 57.
It might be. I mean, he looks every bit of 62.
63. Never doubt Lance in this, Jim. Never doubt him.
But he even looks to be an old 63, so you wonder in 5, 6, 7 years, once all this is blown past, I mean, how much coaching life does he have?
Yeah, I couldn't remember how old he was, but I do remember his age factored into us saying he'll never coach again because he was going to have to spend time on the sidelines. I thought it'd be more than this.
Yep. Runs around quickly, I tell you.
Yeah, but even, Jim, if Southern Miss goes through with this, I mean, he's got to be there at least a couple of years before anybody hires him, right? He's 65 at that point. I mean,
former Baylor athletic director Ian McCall last week, we didn't get to it because there was so much going on, but he had said, he's now at Liberty, by the way, as the athletic director. He says that he believes Briles will be largely exonerated when it's all said and done by the NCAA.
Well, I mean, but how long will that take? He's 63.
Yeah.
And I mean,
that investigation started in 2016. How long will it take? I don't know. It's 2019.
It's not exactly flying through, it doesn't appear. I don't know how many schools, Lance, are going to take a chance on a 65-year-old baggage-filled Art Briles.
Do you guys think it helps that his name's been out there with Kendall Briles?
Yeah, if Kendall is getting heat as the OC at Florida State, you can only imagine what Southern Miss would get if they hire Art. But that apparently is what is going to happen. You can hear the whole interview with the folks from Hattiesburg on Paul's show on our podcast there at jocksfm.com. 28 after. When we come back, I'll ask all of you, how many people listening to us do you think occasionally puts a friendly wager on a game, Brown? You're good at our demographic.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I would say 50%.
Yeah, that's a high number, but yeah. I thought it was going to be lower than that.
Well, when you said friendly wager, I'm assuming $5 between friends is a friendly wager. Okay.
I'd put that at 33, but
with a professional, I'd go 25%.
You're best. You're really good at our demographics. Last night, if you are someone that had a little money on the Iowa State-Oklahoma game, all right.
We had Oklahoma plus the points.
was the lock?
Was that the lock?
It was the lock was actually the Pistons, an easy winner in the NBA. We had a nice 4-0 night for you last night, but one of our two college plays was Oklahoma plus the points.
All right. So it's 3 points you're getting if you're Oklahoma. 75-71. They hit a free throw with 3.5 left. Iowa State does. So it is it's a winner for you, it looks like, if you've got Iowa State given the points, 3.5. But the Oklahoma, they throw it in, they dribble up, and the kid – it's a floating jump shot from just beyond a three-point arc. Can't win the game. It goes in, 75-74. Problem, is there no review on this? They don't review it.
Because it's a meaningless basket in terms of the outcome of the game.
It's right? Just one of those at the end, you see the yeah. official just give the signal.
Same exact thing happened in Virginia Dukes. Same yep. exact thing.
Oklahoma closed a 3-point home underdog against Iowa State with the over-under at 146.5. The Sooners' 3-pointer at the buzzer was called good on the floor, swinging both the spread and the over-under. But video clearly shows that the heave should not have counted, but it counts.
I've told you guys before, you've got to have a tough stomach to wager on college
basketball. Yeah, it seems like college basketball is the worst, though. It seems like almost every night I'm seeing a story about some random backdoor cover.
Well, the NBA, you'll see guys on that final possession. They'll make sure they dribble it out. In college, they're going to be they're throwing it up. It doesn't matter what
they
the
want the numbers,
is.
Don't they?
But here's what's even worse. The Big 12 apparently has a rule that they can go back and change the final score upon review even the next day. And people in Vegas are saying, please hold all tickets. I assume they can make the change like the Pac-12 did hours later on the USC-Utah football game in 2011. But whether they will is another question. I know several people trying to call on the Big 12. So now you got Vegas
yep.
calling the Big 12 saying, dude, you're going to change the game.
Brown, here's where this is dangerous. This will show you that Vegas has way too much of an influence on the Big 12 if they were to go back because yep. this has no impact whatsoever on the outcome of the game.
None. And that's why I'm inclined to say that the Big 12 or any college conference or NCAA for that matter really has no obligation to anybody to review these plays if they don't affect the outcome of the game. I don't feel like they've got an obligation to a gambler. But the more sports gambling becomes legal,
that's
then
my
you
point.
Yeah, you got to start asking these questions.
You've got to review. You got to kick extra points. You've got to review everything. If we're gonna live in this world, which we're already in it, then you've got to review it all. You got to score it all.
Boy, I hate the extra point rule. I think it's so bad in the NFL. I know why they do it in regulation. It's 100% for gambling purposes. 100% right. for gambling purposes. But boy, it is a joy killer.
Here's another thing that I really don't understand how it works, and I was in TV for 28 years. The clock you see on the scoreboard,
right?
Unless you've got one of those old school shots of the clock, scoreboard clock, is not the it's a TV generated clock.
Now
it's supposed to be set with the game clock.
Now I know,
but the one last night.
Right.
As Van Pelt pointed out, I was up watching his show late night, and he points out on Twitter, backboard clock had 0.0 light off, clock on the TV screen 0.2 as the ball leaves hand.
Now,
they're off yeah. by 0.2 seconds.
I've worked in some low level TV productions of college games and things like that, and the truck has a camera trained on the clock so that the guy that's doing that graphic, you know, has it synced up as best he can.
Right.
And that's how that works.
1970
yeah.
television, they would just cut out a little part of the
right, put the actual clock, yeah.
And have a camera set on the clock.
You would think in today's technology,
you could link it up.
This would be linked up and it would be exact.
And I wonder if in high-level productions if it is, but if Van Pelt's saying it's not, I mean, ESPN's about as high-level as you're going to get.
SVP was saying last night, and you know they do big, bad beats and everything. He says, clock, light, horn, they'll never review this thing.
All right,
I agree with you. I do agree on this point, too. Once you play this thing forward, and then in the next 10 years, and look, and everything's on the table now, let's just say that you can have interaction, you can have gambling in every arena in college basketball. And if you're in Norman and you're able to wager on these games, then that does become a factor where you have to go back and review this, and you got to make sure you get it right.
What's the breaking? What's the tipping point here? How many states does this have to be legal in before you think, I mean, because what's it legal in now, like 10 states?
Yeah, I think 10 or 11.
Something like that.
It may not last all over the country, Brown. More on that as soon as you finish your thought.
No, I'm just asking, what's the tipping point of how many states does this have to be legal in before you think the SEC has an obligation or the Big 12 has an obligation to review the made baskets at the end of the game that don't affect the outcome of the game?
I think eventually, if it's legalized, the government will get involved and they'll set guidelines that it has to be done. Virginia, Duke, a few weeks back.
That was a terrible.
There was a shot at the end, and, you know, you have to – didn't impact the game.
Yep, ref counted. I don't think he got it off.
Yeah,
yep.
So should it count? Shouldn't it count? You got to go back and review these things.
Well, remember, and the game is going to – if this thing becomes legalized throughout all states, which it probably never does, Dunaway, But the game becomes secondary for most people. You know, it's not about the outcome of the game. It's about the outcome of the plus three or the 3.5. Because really, the participants of the game, obviously, that's more important for those fan bases, maybe for that conference. But for everyone else, it's about the 3.5 points.
By the way, it wasn't. It was a full game minus three. The betting hat, and LT knows more about this. I've never placed an in-game bet. But the second half line was minus three. So it impacted,
All those and the over-under, right?
And the total, yes, yeah. The over and under. So it impacted all of that last night. One meaningless shot to make it 75-74. From gambling circles, though, in the Super Bowl, which is the biggest gambling day in America, $146 million in Las Vegas bets, down 8%. Now, some would instantly say down 8% in Las Vegas because you can gamble elsewhere in the country. Maybe so, maybe not. But New Jersey, did you see this, Lance?
I did.
New Jersey, where it's legal to be, you know, to bet on games now. What happened to them, Lance?
Well, they lost $4.5 million on Super Bowl 53.
Turn the lights off.
Gotta have a still stomach to run this stuff,
well,
too, don't you?
Just under $35 million was bet on the Super Bowl at New Jersey Sportsbooks, which opened for business for the first time last summer. In their first 6 months of operating, they've taken in more than $1 billion in bets, and they won a net $72 million.
So they're not hurting.
Can't feel sorry for them. But here's what you've got to remember, too. Vegas sportsbooks actually won money on Super Bowl 53, and there was a reason. I was talking to one of our friends on the way home yesterday, and he said, boy, I bet Vegas got killed. And I said, I don't think they did, because the game flew under the total. By flying under the total means most props, when people bet props, they typically bet the over 62.5 rushing yards, over 31 completions. Everyone wants to bet the overs. When this thing flew under in record fashion, nobody hit props. So all of those prop bets out there, Vegas won on. And Vegas ended up winning money. The reason New Jersey lost is you've got so many Eagles fans in those areas because, obviously, the proximity. You've got Eagles fans driving into those sports books to watch the game. And, you know, most people were probably betting on New England. I should say New England, not Eagles fans.
Eagles fans last year, yeah. Patriots fans this year, yes.
But you've got more proximity to Patriots bettors there.
Absolutely. So, interesting day of gambling last night in basketball and this past week in the Super Bowl. And we'll see how we all handle this as a government and as sports fans moving forward.
Just real quick, the NCAA has been hesitant to embrace this at all. And if you start changing rules, that's them endorsing it, basically. But if it's legal, I mean, I can understand them not endorsing it when a lot of bets are placed illegally. But the more it becomes legal in states, they got to think about it.
Did you guys see there were two bets on the Rams that were more than $1 million?
Yeah, that BetterX guy. I don't know who this is, if it's a real person, if it's a conglomerate of people.
Made me feel good, though.
But lost like $4.5 million on that game. Made me feel good.
6:43 on the show. We talked about it yesterday, LT. There was a guy who bet $250 and won $100,000. He bet on the Rams to score only 3 points.
You know, it's funny. I thought about Rockstar.
Shane McVay or something like that?
His name was. I did think about Rockstar when the game was going on at halftime when it was 3-0. I was like, you know,
nobody's getting a boat.
The only shot they've got is for a lot of scoring to take place and have that 24-10 second half.
My ass even overestimated.
6:44 on the show when we come back.
Kind of a light night tonight, but that's something that's going to be on a couple channels. I think we're in high school now. The State of the Union that was canceled. Re-canceled, uncanceled is tonight. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, which is why Auburn basketball is here on Jox, our sister station, Talk 99.5, carrying the State of the Union.
And then 7 p.m. on AMC, a fantastic Tom Hanks movie, Castaway.
Thought it was really good. Again,
at the end of the day, all we have is time.
Stuck with it. I think that's his best performance.
Do you think, spoiler alert, do you think he and the girl have a relationship at the end? You think so?
At least a date.
I mean, what else has he got to do with his life, right?
Well, I mean, and
he drove all the way out there with a package.
Yeah, it's a rural place she lives.
It's true. It is
gotta
very rural.
Got to give him a shot. Yeah, I mean, think about the conversation. I mean, would you not just be in awe sitting with him over a drink listening to Trials and Tribulations?
Yeah. I mean,
sleeps on the floor.
Oh, wow.
Then 7 p.m. on BBC, which came before Stranger Things, Super 8, which is like an homage to Steven Spielberg, all those kids' movies where the kids are making a horror film. It's an interesting movie.
What would you have done if you're Helen Hunt? You've remarried, but the love of your life comes back. That's a tough spot she was in, right?
It's a tough spot.
She kept his car.
She did keep his car.
Kept his car, but then she had kids with the other dude.
I know.
Which makes it really complicated.
She was in a tough spot.
Yeah, I think Chris Noth was the other guy, the actor.
Yeah, speaking of a tough spot, yeah.
But I think if she didn't have kids with him, she probably drops him immediately.
Yeah. Oof. Tough decisions.
Was it the same house, too?
Same house.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah.
Tough right there.
Boy, those memories.
How did Chris Noth not have his own house?
You know what I started watching last night was the Ted Bundy tapes on
Netflix. How is it?
First episode, good. You know, it's just, it's tough to watch how dark and demented that guy was and how intelligent he was. And just to think that there are people out there like that right now.
That's what Rockstar is watching tonight. Rockstar, if you'll give me cut 7, Carson Beck again. Ken writes in, would you expect Carson Beck to say the reason he is decommitting is the quarterback's already on campus? He did not say that. And
I wouldn't expect him to say that. No.
I mean, sometimes, yeah, I'd be okay with that. If you say, listen, they've got two really good quarterbacks, I think I have opportunities maybe to win jobs somewhere else.
But I think these quarterbacks like to project, and this is what I want in a quarterback, that I'm better than any of those guys anyway.
Chris, I think, nails one reason why reopening his commitment's a good reason. Chris believes it's the changeover on the coaching staff. Here's what Beck said again on Jacksonville Sports Talk Radio 1010.
So Saturday, I actually called Coach Saban, let him know. I was like, hey, I'm opening things up. I just want to make sure that I make the right decision at the end of the day. But it was a really good conversation with him. I mean, he totally understands it, and I respect him. He's a great guy. I mean, obviously, I still have Alabama as a top choice just because, I mean, Nick Saban's there. Like, although all these coaches kind of parted ways and went to all these other schools, I mean, you still have one of the greatest coaches of all time coaching there, and that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. And Carson Beck, I don't think there's any shame in saying, though, they've got two guys coming in with legacy there. Talia Tungavaloa's brother's been the superstar for a couple of years, and Bear Bryant's great-grandson.
It's got his name on the stadium.
I get that, but I think that the perception then becomes you don't have a ton of confidence.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky with quarterbacks. Like when running backs say it, you're like, yeah, I see it. But with quarterbacks, you want that guy to come in thinking he's going to win the job.
But would you rather have what's a worse look? This guy decommitting after a long commitment now, which I don't think is a bad look at all.
No.
And him starting to look elsewhere. And if he signs with Florida, or if he comes, he doesn't win the job, and then he transfers in a year or, you know, after you know, two seasons. Which is a worse look for your program? I'd rather him never come on campus, right?
Well, I don't know that it's a bad look for Alabama's program because they've had a bunch of quarterbacks transfer out of there.
Which is a bad, worse look for him. It's all about him.
Well,
really.
For him, probably coming and transferring.
Yeah.
I think you get a worse label there.
See, so making the right choice the first time is important. We'll see where Carson ends up. By the way, Luganville tells us that 77.5%, he just tweeted this, of the projected class has signed early of the ESPN 300. So not a lot of people to commit yesterday, but tomorrow. But National Signing Day tomorrow, and we'll have you covered. Some interesting guys to commit, including Jerrion Ealy, one of the nation's best running backs.
First down.
Better chance of happening in the next 3 years. Pete Carroll gets the Seahawks back to the NFC Championship game, or Mario Cristobal gets Oregon to a college football playoff.
I feel like the time is done in Seattle. And I know they got a little breath of life this year, but we'll use the Clay Travis term dead cat bounce on that. I'm going to go off the board and say Cristobal to the playoffs, though I think neither happened.
Well, you know, Cristobal's got a good path to win the Pac-12, Lance. I mean, there's no world beaters out there. But just winning the Pac-12 does not get you in the playoffs. But I'm with Jim. I think we are on the downhill slide. So I am going to say, or downhill slide for the Seahawks, I'm going to say it is Oregon, but I don't feel great about either answer.
You know, again, I think people forget how good Russell Wilson still is, and it still is Pete Carroll. And I understand it seems like the Rams' division right now. Russell Wilson's only 30 years old, so he's got a good 5-6 years of prime football left, and even more if you look at what Drew Brees and Tom Brady are doing. I'm going to lean the Seattle Seahawks here.
Second down.
Which new AFC coach has more success over the next 5 years? Freddie Kitchens with the Browns or Brian Flores with your Dolphins?
Oh, it's Kitchens. I mean, he's got a what appears to be a guy that's got potential being a top 10 quarterback in this league. He's already got him established there. They've got a good young roster because they've been drafting so early in each round all these years. And they finally have a quarterback. It looks like if he doesn't hit that sophomore slump, a quarterback to match with it. I like where Cleveland's going.
So Kitchens, playoffs one time?
Two times? Look, he's going...
In 5 years, two times.
They're going to become the sexy pick in that division. I think you'll see that. I haven't seen any Vegas odds.
I said it 2 years ago, but I believe you.
Yeah, I haven't seen any Vegas odds, but there are going to be a lot of people picking them to win that division this year.
Two times in 5 years, at least, playoffs for the Browns. At least.
Is it going to blow you away, Lance, if they win that division?
It will not blow me away because I'm not sold on Lamar Jackson, and Pittsburgh seems to be disassembling a little bit.
Third down.
Sticking with this theme a little bit, better chance of winning a championship in their lifetime, James Harden or Baker Mayfield?
League championship, overall championship.
Yeah, like Super Bowl versus world championship, right? It's going to be Harden because he'll end up on either Houston will build around him, Jim, or he'll end up on another team in free agency.
You think he'll end up on a super team and finally win one?
Yeah, and I think Baker is a lifer in Cleveland. I mean, once you establish yourself as a quarterback in the NFL, it's really hard to leave. Because they pay you so much money. They make such a commitment to you.
I think the answer is probably neither. But the problem with Harden, even if he ends up on a super team, is he is so programmed now. I don't want to say it's all me, but it would be difficult for him to share a ball with that many people.
That is true.
Yeah. I'll take Baker Mayfield in a long shot here. Neither is a possibility.
Fourth down.
Better chance of happening next year. Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts gets back to a 14 playoff or the Rams make it back to the Super Bowl.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'll play the odds and say Oklahoma to the playoffs again. They get there a lot. And just seeing teams make it back to the Super Bowl and Super Bowl after the loss is even more difficult, right?
It is, yeah. And I agree with you guys. Oklahoma, if they win the Big 12, you know, they're a step away from getting there.
And we've seen them as a one-loss Big 12 champion get in already.
And they're going to be your favorites.
Yeah.
Even in front of Texas.
I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Probably to win the Big 12 next year.